Okay. Last week we saw that in the nation of Egypt, a bomb exploded. The Hebrews, being slaves in Egypt, for hundreds of years they had been indoctrinated into an Egyptian worldview that taught them that really Pharaoh was God and that he controlled all things and that he assigned value to whatever he so desired. And for hundreds of years, the Israelis were taught that they were no more valuable than a goat or a mule. They had come to believe that they had no real dignity, no significance, except that which Pharaoh had assigned to them. Thus, to then learn that all men, male and female, Egyptian, Jew, white or black, young or old, that they deserved respect because they were made in the image of God. And this teaching was like a bulldozer slamming into his house. It was attacking the worldview of the Egyptians and giving the Israelites a newfound significance, encouragement, and hope. The Egyptian idea of man's significance, it just came tumbling down. This teaching about man being made in the image of God, it was not the only bomb that exploded in the land of Pharaoh. Moses, speaking under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then tells the people that you are made in the image of God, therefore you have value and significance. But guess what? Just as God created and sustains the world, He also calls upon you to work. He calls upon you to be fruitful and multiply. Well, again, why was this radical? Once again, it is because of the wrong worldview that the Egyptians as well as Israel had. When we think about something, we assign value to something, and that value is precious or it's trash according to what we have determined. If you have jewelry, you keep it safe, do you not? If you have an old orange peel, you don't worry too much about that being stolen, so you don't take very good care of that. You just throw it in the trash. You see, we assign value and significance to whatever we decide. Some people do not assign much to the human race, and that's why we have things like abortion. Because in their eyes, this is not a child to be protected and nurtured. Instead, it's just a blob of tissue that we can just cast out with the morning trash. You see, a wrong idea about something causes us to assign it a wrong value. A right idea about something leads us to give it beauty, glory, a high value. And this is what just exploded in the nation of Egypt. They had a wrong view of man, and God was coming to set it straight. And one of the things that he has given to Israel because they are made in the image of God is that they are to multiply humanity and they are to subdue the earth. And these things are called creation mandates. You need to understand that when God created the garden and put Adam and Eve in the garden, that wasn't the end of it. God's plan for Adam and Eve was to expand the garden, multiply and be fruitful. That which they could see over there, that was like a wasteland, where they lived was a garden. What they could see was a jungle. But because they're made in the image of God, they had received this creation mandate to increase the garden and let it spread all over the earth. That's why when Jesus says that when he returns, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, because that has been God's plan all along. To have a beautiful planet of a garden where you and I are going to live. So one of the first things that we see is that Adam and Eve, they're to be fruitful and increase in number. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he placed them there with the purpose of having children to fulfill their God-ordained purpose. Our first parents were to reproduce. As God created, and as man is made in the image of God, so they were to multiply that image of God in their offspring. Therefore, the first things we see is that having children doesn't get in the way of you doing God's will. As a matter of fact, that's what you're called to. You know, child abuse. You turn on the TV, you read something. There is always an article or someone on the TV mentioning child abuse. Why do they do that? It's because they assign a low value to the child. But Adam and Eve were not simply to reproduce and then just leave it at that. The animals did that. Instead, Adam and Eve were to reproduce the image of God in their offspring. They were to reproduce the image of God in their offspring. In other words, we fulfill our calling as being images of God as we raise our children to love and honor Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "Fathers, bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord." Deuteronomy chapter 4, "Teach the laws and the righteous decrees of the Lord to your children and to their children's children." Teach them. Instruct them. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. And therefore you are to teach them to honor God in their bodies and in their minds and in their heart. Now, this would have been relatively an easy thing to do as long as Adam and Eve did not eat the fruit. But once they sinned, though they still have the commission to raise the children in the love and the admonition of the Lord, yet now the children are initially going to rebel against that. Let me ask you, have you ever had to teach your children to be disobedient? No. As a matter of fact, sometimes it surprises us how rebellious our children and grandchildren are. Does it not? You've never had to teach your children to be bad. Why? They brought it with them. It's in their heart. It's in their mind. But that does not excuse you from raising the children to the glory of Christ. Sin has come into the world, and we still have the commission from God, but because sin has come into the world, things are a lot more difficult now, and we are still to raise the kids in the love and the admonition of the Lord. This helps us understand this covenant relationship that exists between Jesus Christ, us as parents, and our children. Throughout all of the scriptures, God treats the offspring of believers, He treats them special. Some will believe, some will not believe, but even those who do not believe, they are treated special. Promises that were made to Abraham, they are also applied to his descendants, and not all of his descendants believe. Moses in Deuteronomy 29 declares that God's revelation belonged to us and to our children. In 2 Samuel 7, the promises made to David were for him and his descendants. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us that all the children of believers are holy and set apart from the world. This is the bond that God has with our children. Some of them may grow up not to believe. Such was the case with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Such was the case with King David. Such is the case with some of us. But still, God treats them as different than those who are not in covenant with Him. How can that be, preacher? Well, let me tell you. Covenant children are taught the Word of God. Non-covenant children are not. Covenant children are exposed to the preaching of God's Word, whereby Paul says it is through the preaching of the Word, no matter how bad it is, but it is through the preaching of the Word that God in the Holy Spirit calls children in faith to Christ. Non-covenant children, they don't even go to church. They don't hear the calling of God to faith and repentance in Christ. The sons and daughters of believers are expected to be heirs of the grace that is offered them through Jesus Christ. And therefore, God will treat them differently. Thus, if you're not teaching your children at home about Christ, if you're not setting them as an example of how a Christian is to live, if you were keeping your children from church and preaching the Word of God, then you are in effect saying, God, I want you to treat my children as the sons and daughters of Pharaoh and not of Moses. The sons and daughters of the devil, but not the offspring of Christ. And I'll just tell you, when you keep the means of grace from your children and grandchildren, and then they start acting like non-believers, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Because you have taken the means of grace away from them, and they naturally, they will turn to sin. It'll either be the image of God that you work in them, or it will be the image of devil. So what are you doing with your children and grandchildren? We all know each other very well. I've been here that long. 20-something years. I know your children. I know your grandchildren. Some of them are great saints. And some of them break your heart because they have turned to the devil. I know the situation that we are all in. Children and grandchildren. But Christ challenges you. What are you doing What are you doing to bring about this child who is made in the image of God? What are you doing to remake this child into the image of Jesus Christ? In closing, I want you to imagine a scenario. You're the servant of a powerful king. He summons you one day to his throne room, and he sits there and he is adorned with all these jewels and diamonds, and you cannot help but admire all the jewelry that he is decked out in. But to your surprise, the king extends his hand and says to you, "Take care of these jewels for me. Care for these jewels, make them bright and shiny, that they may see my glory in them." How would you feel about that? What would you think? Well, I know you would be honored that such a person would put in your custody something that was so valuable. Guess what? That's what he's done. But he's done it with his children and his grandchildren. And he has put them into your hands to expose them to the Word of God, to pray for them, to bring them to church, to ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, please have mercy upon my grandchildren. Please have mercy upon my children, because I know and I understand that they have no hope except the righteousness of Christ." That is it. None but Christ. And God has called you to that. Oh, my friend, when you teach your children about Christ, you're not spreading some religious ideology, but you're teaching them the truth. You're teaching them reality. You're teaching them the way it is. Where is that in your life? That drive, that passion to pray for your children and grandchildren, and if possible, to see that they are in church hearing the Word of God. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies unto us. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would have mercy upon our children and our grandchildren, that you would indeed send your Holy Spirit and effectually call them unto you. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us strength, give us wisdom to fulfill your calling of us being images of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us close our worship with a hymn of response, number 697. And let's stand as we sing.